This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us this morning, political analyst Steve Roberts on the Trocare College Live Line. And Steve, all eyes on Chuck Schumer, the New York senator, sparking a bit of a firestorm. He voted with Republicans, much to the dismay of a lot of Democrats who have been speaking out on the issue. Steve, I thought his reasoning for voting with Republicans to avoid a government shutdown was pretty sound, I guess, if you were a Democrat, that a government shutdown would have really just kind of meant the only person working in all of Washington would have been the president and the executive branch. I mean, I guess that explanation didn't really hold water with Bernie Sanders, AOC, and the likes.
Well, it's not just that the only person working would be Donald Trump, but the other person working would be Elon Musk. And that was the real problem. He was faced with two really lousy options. If you vote to do what he did, which is help keep the government open and bring along 10 Democrats to help do that, well, the liberals start screaming bloody murder. Be tougher, be stronger, you know, throw up roadblocks against Trump. But if you voted to defund the government, his argument was, look, that you just make it easier for Musk to keep his rampage through Washington. You make it easier to fire federal employees. You make it easier to close down whole chunks of the government. So he had no good option. He was going to get whacked no matter what. And he tried to do the responsible thing, but it's easy for the liberals, who really have no responsibility for the government, to start taking potshots at him. But as you say, his defense was reasonable. Just politically, it's a reflection of the larger problem of frustration and anger in Democratic ranks and the disarray. They don't have a national leader. Harris and Biden have both retired to obscurity and oblivion, and no one has emerged to replace them. Schumer himself is well into his 70s and is an older generation. The Democratic leader in the House, Hakeem Jeffries, has not begun to acquire the stature and influence that his predecessor, Nancy Pelosi, had. So the party is kind of leaderless. And at the same time, Trump is a much more powerful figure than he was the first time he was president. At that point, he had never held public office before. He was far less confident, far less seasoned, and had to wield power. Today, he's much more confident in his own leadership, and he heads a much more unified Republican Party than he did 8 years ago. So it's just a lot of factors that are undermining the Democrats. And an NBC poll out today, only 27% of Americans view the Democrats favorably. So they're a party in real disarray today.
Yeah, I'm going to say it is seemingly a mess for the Democrats. Where do they go from here?
Well, it is a mess, but there are two signs, Susan, not necessarily of their own making, but there are two signs that are fairly hopeful to the Democrats. One is something we talked about so endlessly during the campaign. The single biggest reason Biden lost was not Trump's leadership. It was gas and groceries. It was prices. It was inflation that, you know, battered families in Buffalo and everywhere else. Well, it's now Donald Trump's economy. It was Biden's economy for years. It's now Trump's economy. He's the president. And NBC's poll shows only 18% of Americans viewing the economy as strong or as good or excellent. And 54% in that poll view Trump's economic policies negatively. So the single best thing Democrats have going for them is that Americans are still unhappy with the economy, still unhappy with the price of gas and groceries. And now they're going to blame Trump for their problems, not Biden. The other thing they have going for them is that there's been a myth that's been out there for a long time. Ronald Reagan fueled it and other Republicans, that somehow the federal government just helps other people. Well, that's not true. And people are starting to feel, whether it's in Buffalo or anywhere else, that you start cutting the federal government, you start cutting aid to schools, you start cutting aid to public transit systems, you start cutting aid to regulators who enforce clean air and water regulations. There are all sorts of ways in which ordinary Americans don't understand that their own well-being or their own communities are attached to federal help and federal support. And when that starts getting clearer, the Democrats are going to have an advantage.
Will they be able to capitalize, though? Because I believe, Steve, if you look at it right now, it seems like there's kind of two lanes for Democrats to go down. You know, the so-called party in crisis after the election. And you have, you know, Bernie Sanders, AOC, you mentioned Hakeem Jeffries and more. They seem to kind of be on this one, you know, path of the resistance path, so to speak. And then I look over at Gavin Newsom and what he's been up to lately and doing a lot of podcasts, bringing a lot of conservative and right-wing people on, talking about a lot of issues in a way that you might not expect him to talk about it, kind of going after the more moderate part of America, moving himself toward the center. Which way do you see most Democrats following? What path do you think they'll go down?
Well, you know, it's a good question. And the answer is it's got to be both. You know, the liberal wing of the Democratic Party is far from a majority. There's been a great capacity for self-delusion on the part of liberals that somehow this is a liberal country. It's not. It's a center-right country. The Democrats need both wings of the party. It can't be one or the other. It has to be both. And history shows that the best way for that to happen is for a charismatic leader to emerge who it's more a force of their personality than it is their ideology that unites and bridges the party. Let me tell you three names: Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. It's happened in the past where a youthful leader in their 40s, or Jack Kennedy for that matter, you know, the average age of those four Democrats, Kennedy, Carter, Clinton, Obama, was only 47 years old when they were elected president. Kennedy was only 43. And so history shows that a new generation can emerge, but it's not so much an ideological majority. It's the force of a charismatic personality who can unite both sides of the party. That's their formula for success, and history is pretty clear about that.
You know, but if they go down both paths, aren't they causing a split or a rift in
sure.
the party?
I mean, that in the absence of a uniting leadership, you're absolutely right. And the two sides are at war with each other. You have the pragmatic side that was reflected by Schumer and saying, look, we got to deal with reality here. And the reality is we can't really stop Trump at this point. The reality is if we close the federal government, it's going to hurt us more than it helps. And you have the liberal wing who says, you know, to the barricades, you know, and let's be more pure and let's stop Trump at every turn. And right now there is definitely a split and there is definitely a lot of sort of irritation and anger. You saw that over the weekend with Democrats, you know, firing at each other, particularly the liberals going after Schumer. And that's why I'm saying that how do you heal that rift? You heal that rift with a Barack Obama. You heal that rift with a Bill Clinton. You heal that rift with a dynamic young leader who more through his or her personality than any ideological formula becomes the leader of a united party.
Well, Steve, as always, thank you. Steve Roberts joining us every Monday morning.